If you would like a Bible, please raise your hand. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 17. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be here with you at 5 o'clock. Just before Mark went on holidays, he asked me, are you good to come to 5 next week and preach there? And I said, yeah, look, it should be fine. It's movies, so I'm thinking of putting on The Passion of the Christ. And the look on his face was priceless. But we're going to do something way better than that. We're going to get stuck into God's Word and see what he has to tell us about movies. But let me pray before we do that. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your life-giving word to us. We pray that we will listen to you as you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, make my day. I am your father. Tell him he's dreaming. You call that a knife? I'll be back. Show me the money, my precious. Movies are a huge part of our culture. We as a society spend lots of our time and our money watching movies and TV shows. We might relax by putting on a movie with friends or with the family, or we might even go to the cinemas and watch new films come out on the big screen. Movies are a big part of our recreation and leisure. The rise of internet streaming services like Netflix shows this. Movies form a big part of our culture. And I think the reason why we love our movies is because at their essence, they are all about telling us a story. And under that rubric of movies, I'd also add TV shows and other film. They are all about telling us a story. As humans, we love hearing stories, whether it be a story about a person, a superhero or a superhuman being, an animal, an object, a place or a time in history. We love hearing stories. At their essence, movies are all about telling us a story. If you like, they are our epic stories. We spend lots of money producing them, we promote them like crazy, and we project them onto the big screen for large audiences to see. They are our epic stories, and we want everyone to know about them. Now, as we've gone through this series on the God of culture, we've seen that all aspects of our culture need to be put under the microscope of God's word. Or if you prefer another image, we need to apply a biblical blowtorch to everything that we see and that we do as part of our culture. Because we believe that God is sovereign and we are under his rule, then we want to listen to what he says on everything in our lives, including the movies that we watch. So today we are considering movies. What does our God have to tell us in his word about movies? Well, as a starting point, our movies or our epic stories, they must all be shaped and seen in the light of God's epic story. The story of God himself and how he works in his world. The story that we see in the scriptures. And the first thing for us to remember is that God's story, God's epic story in the Bible, is an all-time great. It's an all-time epic. Because the Bible gives us God's story from creation at the beginning to new creation, the end, where everything is heading to. And when you stop to consider God's epic story in the scriptures, you see just how amazing it is, how spectacular, and how crazy at times it is. It's an epic story. So even though some of us might be overly familiar with the Bible, we've got to remember that this is one epic story. Because right from the start of this story, we're introduced to God, the God who creates everything. The God who creates everything just by uttering a word. He breathes everything into existence. Everything is formed as he speaks. And we see that the pinnacle of God's creation are these little creatures, human beings. And God has a relationship with them. And these humans, they're given a special role and a special place in God's creation. He wants these little creatures to rule the world that he made. But as we see in God's epic story, these humans, they get it wrong. Things start to break down because they've rejected their maker. So what starts out as being perfection that we see in creation, it becomes imperfect and broken. There's hostility between God and humans, as well as humans amongst each other. Things are broken, and things keep getting worse. There's bloodshed, crime. There are bad guys and very few good guys. Death reigns across the whole earth. No one can escape it. The curse of human sin has wrecked everything. And so God is so angry that he floods the earth in judgment, the very earth that he made. Things have changed so quickly from how they were at the beginning. The whole earth is wiped out in judgment, and a few people are spared. But even those people get it wrong, and things go from bad to worse. And friends, this is not even a dozen chapters into the first book in God's epic story. And as this story progresses, God continues to show grace. He calls a people for himself that again and again he rescues them. There are plagues. Nature is stopped in its tracks by the God who made it. There are battles where God delivers his people in the most supernatural way and the most unexpected way, through nobodies, through insignificant people. We see men are thrown into fiery furnaces and they survive. One man even gets thrown to the lions and he lives. This is one epic story and it hasn't even reached its climax yet. The arrival of God himself, that's the high point. God comes to fix the world in his son Jesus. He rescues people from the curse of their sin, dying and coming back to life, setting the pattern for the new creation to come. And after Jesus has died and incredibly risen from the dead, he tells a group of men in Luke chapter 24 that this epic story in the scriptures, it's all about him. It's all about God's son, Jesus. And since this story from God, it's an epic story, it's real. It's not something out of Hollywood or Bollywood. No human has made this up. It's real. And by God's grace, we are included in that story. The Saviour in that story, Jesus, he's our Saviour as well. And this story is at another level altogether when you realise that it's not a human story, but it's God's story with his words to us. His life-giving words. No story or movie has that much power or significance. The more we read God's story, we see that it's an epic story. So with God's epic story in mind, this helps us understand movies, our epic stories. And there are a few key places in Scripture that I want us to go through tonight that will help us understand movies. Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter of the Bible, is a fantastic starting point. Because what we see here sets up the pattern of God's order in the world. What we see here is that God is the creator of all things. Everything in this world is not only created by him, but it belongs to him. That means movies, even as they are produced by humans, they are ultimately from God. Movies only exist because God created us humans to make them. And this is down to the fact that we are made in God's image, in his likeness. In Genesis chapter 1, God gives his creation mandate to all humans on how they are to live, how they are to live the good life, the best life, under his rule. Because we are created in God's image, then it affects everything we do. You see, because God is relational, then we too are relational beings. God is a worker, so we are workers as well. God rests from his work, so we too, as humans, are to rest from our work and to enjoy creation. God is the ruler of the universe, and he graciously gives us the job of ruling the universe under him. And just like God, the creator, we too are creative beings. We build things, we invent things, we design things, we make things, including our movies. God's the creator, and we are mini creators living under him. And as creative people, we tell our stories and make our movies in so many different ways. You think about all the different types of films there are: action, drama, sci-fi, comedy, documentaries, I don't know who watches them, horror movies, animations, the list goes on. And this, of course, reflects us being made in God's image. He too is creative in the way he gives his word to us. Have you ever considered the Bible and the many different types of texts and genres there are? We have history, we have law, we have prophecy, we have narrative, we have biographies, we have letters, we have apocalyptic writing. All of it God's word to us. All because we are made in God's image. And isn't it encouraging when you see people using their God-given gifts in making movies to point to Jesus and to make him known? To use film as a way of encouraging brothers and sisters in Christ. I think of a young man at our 6:45 night congregation. Each year, he will spend hours and hours producing and editing films for our youth group and our church. And he does this because he loves Jesus and wants people to know the Creator who has given him these gifts. Or we think of someone like Mike Snowden, our Link missionary in Spain. He loves making films, and he does it all for the glory of God, and he does it so that we can be dialed in to what's happening in Spain as people are hearing about Jesus. So we make movies because we are created in God's image. But the movies we make reflect our world. They reflect a world that is lost and dying in sin. Ever since the first humans rejected God's rule, there have been consequences for every single human since. And our movies show this, don't they? Movies project human sin onto the big screen. They show the effects of a world that is out of relationship with God. If you reflect on movies that you've watched, especially maybe ones you've watched recently, you will notice this. You'll notice these themes: a broken relationship, people filled with hatred towards each other, people harming each other, violence, greed, selfishness, lying. These themes all come through in our movies, even our children's movies. And it's not an accident. Movies made by sinful humans will always show our sinfulness. And this is a good thing, because it means when we watch movies, we are made aware of our sin. But where our movies fall short on this is that they don't identify the root problem. They fail to show us the real cause of all these problems in the world, that we have rejected God and that our hearts are far from him. And so with all of these problems in our world that we see on the big screen, our movies will often present some kind of solution, usually in the form of a saviour, someone who can save the day, someone who helps those who are completely helpless, a hero. So in our movies, we'll have someone like John McClane saving the hostages from the terrorists in Nakatomi Tower on Christmas Eve. We'll have Daryl Kerrigan sticking up for his family and his castle. We'll have Shrek and his noble steed, Donkey, going on their quest. Or we might even have the Avengers turn up and save the day when they're not too busy fighting each other. Our movies are full of heroes who come and save those who are in trouble. And these heroes, they will go to great lengths, even sacrificing themselves. But we've got to remember that even these heroes in our movies, they are flawed. They've got their own problems. They aren't the perfect saviour or the ultimate hero. And when they come and save the day, it doesn't bring an end to all the problems. You see this ever so crassly when a movie has a sequel. Just when you thought everything had been resolved, there's still more to come. There's still more saving to be done. Yet in Jesus, we have our perfect saviour, the one sent by God, the one sent to rescue helpless people. In John chapter 10, Jesus says about his own rescue mission that he has come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. You see, Jesus' rescue mission isn't temporary or short-term. It's eternal. Jesus came to bring life to a world facing death. And not just death, but eternal separation from God. Jesus came to bring us back to God so that we could have life, eternal life, life that is real. Our Saviour Jesus, he comes as the perfect Saviour with the perfect solution for our sin problem. He dies so that we don't have to die and face God's anger. And only he could do it. Unlike other heroes and saviours, he has no imperfection or flaw. And Jesus' saving work that he does on the cross, it's complete. Jesus says, "It is finished. My saving work here is complete. There's no sequel to come." And Jesus is the perfect Saviour who has removed the ultimate problem from our world. He's conquered death, pointing to the life to come. And our movies, touch on this idea that there is something better than this life. There is something greater and more satisfying than our lives here and now. We might see this when a movie shows us an alternate universe, or another planet, or a utopia, or even a zootopia, or the afterlife. Movies get us to imagine a better place, somewhere greater. But again, they fall short because the dream that they present is ultimately unsatisfying, or it's just not true. Jesus tells us that only He can provide us with true satisfaction, the life to come. In John's Gospel, in chapter 4, we recall the episode of Jesus with the woman at the well. Jesus says to this woman that everyone who drinks from this water, from the well, will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water, springing up within him for eternal life. To a thirsty world that is longing for something better, Jesus is saying, only I can quench your thirst. Only I can give you eternal life. You see, we long for a better place. And Jesus says that only eternal life from him can truly satisfy. That's why it's a real shame when we look in all the wrong places when it comes to the afterlife. Our movies do this all the time. Even one of my favourite movies, Gladiator, does this. At the end of the film, we have Maximus entering the afterlife. He's lying there, dying, and he's entering the afterlife, and it's portrayed as this place where he's walking along, he pushes open a door, walks through some grain fields, and eventually meets his family in the distance. And he's quite content, he's happy, he's satisfied. Now that might work in Hollywood, and it might be nice to imagine, but it is utter nonsense. The only way that we can have the life to come is if we put our trust in Jesus. Only He can give us eternal life, life that is real. And so, knowing God's epic story from creation to new creation, it changes everything that we do now. Even though we haven't arrived at the new creation, it's still our destination. We're living for the future. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're temporary residents on earth. So as we look towards heaven, what we do now absolutely matters. And this is especially true for us as we consider our movies and how we view them. In our Bible reading from Colossians chapter 3, we are commanded to be heavenly minded in all that we do, to seek what is above. So if you've got Colossians chapter 3 open, in verse 1, we read there, if you have been raised with the Messiah, then seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Friends, that is the reality for all Christians. We've been saved by Jesus, so that means our lives now are different. Because we share in Jesus' death and resurrection, our lives are now set on heaven, where our Lord Jesus is, and where we will one day meet him and be with him. And a big part of that is making sure that our minds are switched on. That's what we see in verse 2. Our minds are to be set on heaven, not this world. And movies have a big input on our thinking. What we see and hear in our movies shapes what we think. So we need to be discerning as we watch movies because of the impact that they have on our thoughts and our actions. The Bible calls us to exercise discernment, or in layman's terms, to use your brain. In Romans chapter 12, Paul also says there, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So when we watch our movies, we use our Bibles and our brain. When we go to the cinema, we don't leave our brain at the door. We think carefully about what we're watching. We engage with what's on the screen and we carefully discern whether it is helpful for us as we seek what is above. Being set on heaven also means that we need to put to death what hinders us from seeking heaven. From verse 5 there, Paul is quite clear about what kind of stuff needs to go. And there are some things here that speak to us as we consider movies, especially as we consider movies that we might watch. In verse 5 we read that we are to put to death what belongs to your worldly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust. Let's stop there for a minute. Movies which promote sexual immorality have got to go. If we are serious about following Jesus, and if we are serious about setting our minds on what is above, then we must have nothing to do with movies that have a warped worldly view on sex and sexuality. Whether it be movies that are just outright pornographic films, or movies that are promoting marital unfaithfulness, or sexual desire that is not in line with God's way, all of it must be put to death. Just last year, I decided to stop watching a TV show because of this. I used to love watching House of Cards, a political thriller from the United States. This show has some fantastic characters and some incredible plot twists. But the more I watched this show, the more I realised that it was not in line with God's word, and it was not helping me as I seek what is above. But the thing about this show is that it promotes marital unfaithfulness and sexual promiscuity. It treats it as the norm. It glorifies it. If we are to set our minds on heaven, then movies with sexual immorality and lust have got to go. They do not help us with our holiness. They've got to be put to death, lest we become desensitized by it, start to accept what's being put forward, and even revel in it ourselves. And as we keep reading there in verse 5, we must also put to death evil desire and greed, which is idolatry. So that means movies which promote idolatry, they've also got to go. If movies are taking you away from God, and they are taking you away from meeting with God's people, then they've got to go. If you watch too many movies, and spend too much time watching movies or TV shows, then it's time to cut back. And it's not only the content of the movies that's important, but it's the way we acquire them. In this passage, we are called to leave our idolatry behind. We must not be greedy and chase after the things of this world. So that means we don't steal movies. Christians don't pirate movies. It's as simple as that. If you want a movie, then you pay for it. Some other things down there in verse 8 that we're commanded to put off include anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language, and lying. Again, we need to make sure that we are getting rid of these things. They do not help us as we seek heaven. The movies we watch these days have a lot of these things in them, so it's rare to find a good film. But we must always be setting our minds on what is above. But again, remember the reason that we are to put these things to death. It's because we've been saved by Jesus. And those things are part of our old self, our old way of life before we were saved by Jesus. The new life with Christ demands that we fill our minds with what is good and wholesome. So we've seen what we are to put away, what we're to get rid of because of our new life in Christ. And so we are exhorted to pursue a better way. From verse 12, we see that we are to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another, and to put on love. These are the things that we are to be pursuing. And these good virtues, they come through in some of our movies. Movies aren't entirely bad. We do see some of these good things evident in our movies. There are movies where we do actually see them on display. We might see a character's humility and self-sacrificial love as they put others first. We might see gentleness and compassion on a character who just doesn't deserve it. And forgiveness when someone has been wronged. These characteristics, they're all good. They are in line with God's word and his way for his people. So when we see these in our movies, it's a fantastic opportunity to be bringing us back to Jesus, the perfect one who managed to live the perfect life, and the one who we are called to follow. So when we see these good and righteous and godly virtues in our movies, they should ultimately be driving us back to God's word and to the Lord Jesus. That's what we read there in verse 16, where we are told to let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you. When we watch our epic stories on the big screen, they should always be bringing us back to God's epic story in the Bible. We are to constantly dwell on God's word, listening to what he tells us, and making sure that what we see and what we think and what we do matches up with it. We're commanded there as well to teach each other as we let God's word dwell richly among us. Movies can provide a fantastic way of teaching each other, especially our grandkids or our friends. So I encourage you to take as many opportunities as you can after watching movies to reflect on them and talk about them with each other, especially if there are some good gospel themes evident in them. And on this point of teaching, it'd be helpful to make a few brief remarks on movies that are based on Bible stories. We can probably list off quite a few of these. The Passion of the Christ, the Jesus film, Exodus, Gods and Kings, Noah, even The Robe, that old one with Charlton Heston in it, I believe, I haven't seen it. As well as things like the Bible miniseries that was on TV a couple of years ago. Now, firstly, these movies or these TV series, they can be helpful. They can be helpful in giving us a picture of what things may have been like. And they can also be helpful in certain countries where God's word is restricted. I think of something like the Jesus film. It's been translated into hundreds of languages, and there have even been public screenings of the Jesus film in Islamic countries. And many people have gathered, non-believers, to watch a film all about Jesus. And so secondly, these movies, they can be good conversation starters with non-Christians and with our friends. When one of these films comes out, it generates so much interest and publicity. And this can provide us with a good opportunity to talk to others about the Bible and what these stories are all about and why they are so important as part of God's epic story. But thirdly, and most importantly, these biblical movies, they must bring us back to the Scriptures. We can never just watch them by themselves. We must always go back and read what actually happened, rather than Hollywood's depiction of what happened. We are people of the truth, so we want the truth. And our God is a God of word. And I want to stress this point because the Bible stresses this point again and again. God stresses this point all the time, that the way he communicates with us and makes himself known to us is by his word. That's how he has always revealed himself. He speaks to us and we listen to him. Jesus is quite clear in John chapter 5, verse 24, when he says that anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me will have life. So any thoughts that a movie could somehow improve a Bible story are just downright idolatrous, and they are wrong. They are not in line with God's word. The way we know God is through his word, not through a movie. If God wanted to reveal himself to us in a movie, then he would have done so, and he would have told us which movie. God reveals himself to us by his word. And finally, there in verse 17, we are called to be thankful. As we've gone through our series over the past few weeks, we've seen that we are to be thankful to God for everything that he gives us. Our celebrations, our sport, everything in our culture that are gifts from God, including our movies. We mustn't forget to thank God for the gift of movies. Movies are fantastic for our leisure. So we must never forget to give thanks to God for this gift. And movies are great for telling a story, but we must always see our movies in light of God's epic story in the Bible. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can know you. We thank you that we can know you because you speak to us. Father, we thank you so much for movies. We thank you that they are a gift from you to us. Lord, we pray that as we watch movies, we will discern between what is good and what is proper. Father, please be using each one of us to be spurring each other on, to be setting our minds on what is above. And please also be making us be people who are serious and who take action where we need to. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.